After 22 years in the ministry, you'd think that preparing an Easter Sunday service would be the easiest thing in the world. I must have this down pat by now, right? And yet, every Easter, every Lenten season, I need to rediscover what the true meaning of Easter is, as if for the first time. The Easter message is not something that one can hold on to and grasp and say, I've got it, and you don't. The Easter message is something that can only be received with open hands, open mind, and a loving heart. And that is something that needs to be cultivated and invited into being each day. Each year. Also, the message of Easter is not something that anybody can give anybody else. It can only be received. Let's try together this morning to continue to receive the Easter message. Every year I'm asked at least these three questions during the Easter season. And while they can sound like simple questions, just hearing them and answering them helps to reawaken in me what it is for Jesus to have been resurrected. First question. How come Easter changes its day all the time? Christmas is always December 25th. Why is Easter sometime March 27th, sometimes April? Anyone know? Easter needs to happen on what day of the week? Sunday. Easter needs to happen on Sunday because that's the day that Jesus was risen. In fact, that's why we changed our Sabbath day from Saturday to Sunday. So we need to have it change each time of each year because it needs to stay on Sunday. So this formula was come up with. Easter will be the first Sunday after the first full moon on or after the spring equinox. Easter has to do with spring. When I walked in and saw our altar, I thought to myself, not another word needs to be spoken about resurrection. It's eternal spring. Second question I'm always asked, why is Easter called Easter? From the goddess Eostre, the goddess of the dawn, the goddess of the east. Anyone know which direction east is? In Swedenborgian churches, the altar is placed in the east. The direction of new life. Already the questions bring us more fully into the heart of Easter. But then there's third question, which is always asked of me. Why did he have to die? Why did Jesus have to die? Jesus died because we killed him. And God gives us freedom to do what we wish. Our church teaches that Jesus came at a time in human history when people were choosing to be more and more selfish and more greedy, more and more closed-hearted. And that Jesus came to remind us of heaven, to remind us of true life. And Jesus lived a life where he always chose the path of love. Even to the last temptation on the cross. He was mocked, ridiculed, beaten, and hung to die. Now, what more reason would one need to get angry? What more reason would one need to hate? What reason would one more need to seek revenge? But Jesus did not. He was showing us another way. A way that we, 2,000 years later, still haven't quite gotten. And so our church teaches, through the writings of Emanuel Swedenborg, that we are now entering into another time when we are becoming more selfish and more greedy, and forgetting what life is all about. And so God is coming again, not in terms of a person like Jesus, a physical being to our earth, but in terms of the Spirit of Christ, which speaks all languages, all religions, all cultures, all races, a message to each one of us as we will open ourselves to it. A message of love. Swedenborg wrote, again, about 250 years ago, that the greatest danger facing humanity was that we were forgetting about the spiritual, that we were coming to believe only in the physical, material reality, to the point where we were coming to believe that life itself is dependent on the physical, rather than realizing that this is just the tip of the iceberg, that this is just the beginning of the blossom, that life is so much deeper and so much more. And you know, it's exciting to be living in a time when we're coming to realize that, even in terms of our science. It was only about 25 or 30 years ago that Dean Ornish began his research into what makes people healthy instead of getting diseased and ill. He's a cardiologist, and he saw the effects of disease firsthand. He wanted to explore, what is it? And so he did. And since then, we've learned a lot about what it is that makes us healthy, physically healthy, right? Eating right? What else? Exercise? What? Sleep? Yes. Peace and quiet? Not smoking? Work that you enjoy. Now that's actually getting to what he found to be the most powerful one of all. What was the other one? Positive mental attitude. That's getting toward what Dean Ornish discovered made all the difference. More than whether you ate right, slept well, exercised, stopped smoking, more than all of those combined together, what gave one a healthy life was loving connection with one another. 30 years ago, when he began his research, the word love was not in any of the textbooks in cardiology. And now it is. Albert Einstein wrote, "A human being is a part of the whole that we call the universe." One song. Universe. "A part limited in time and space. A human being experiences himself, his thoughts and his feelings, as something separated from the rest, a kind of optical illusion of his consciousness. This illusion is a prison for us." One might say a tomb. "This illusion of separateness is a prison for us, restricting us to our personal desires and to affection for only the few people nearest to us. Our task must be to free ourselves from this prison by widening our circle of compassion to embrace all living beings and all of nature." Einstein is telling us we are here on Earth in the illusion of separate beings in order to remember our connection, our unity. And we do this by choosing to care for one another. Every day, 1,000 times a day, we have a choice to open or to close. To open or to close. One more quote from one more scientist. Dr. George Wald was a Harvard biologist who won the Nobel Prize. He wrote, "What one really needs is not Nobel laureates," says the Nobel laureate, "but love." "How do you think one gets to be a Nobel laureate?" he writes. "Wanting love, that's how. Wanting it so bad that one works all the time and ends up a Nobel laureate. It's a consolation prize," he says. "What matters is love." And no matter what we do, to ourselves or to one another, we cannot kill that love. It can feel like it sometimes. But the Easter dawn is always here, ready for us to recognize, to turn to the east, and to embrace. God be with us as individuals and as a humanity as we continue on this journey, opening our hearts to truly love. Amen.